Joining me on the line, Sal Charleston, head football coach. Black Eagles headed to play Ripley, as long as that color code situation is intact on Saturday. They are currently in orange, speaking of Jackson County, and Kanawha County currently in gold. Coach, welcome back to the Brandon Lowe Show.
Hey, Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, man. So let's break down, before we get into some really good news for a couple players, and then we'll obviously talk some postseason football, but the map situation, and we've had this conversation over and over, but, you know, it is what it is with the headaches that we had with, okay, if you're in this color, you can play this county, or you can play football at all. Then they talk about postseason play beforehand. If you're in orange or red, you weren't going to play. Now they've tweaked that this weekend, and they said, okay, if you make it to either at least gold on Saturday, you can play football. For a coach, I mean, you have a team like Ripley that you're going to prepare for, but at the same time, you may not even play Ripley.
Right, but that's the fairest thing to do if you look at it. They should put the top 16 in. And, you know, if the color coded map's going to control someone's destiny, then, you know, that's not on either team. That's on the people that are making the decisions, you know. But if you start eliminating people prior to the playoffs just because of their color coded system and start throwing in people who are, you know, not really deserving to be there, that's where you're going to have a lot of issues. And I know we've been on the other end where, you know, we didn't have a great record. I would not want to be in that situation. First of all, it puts the kids in a bad place. And secondly, it's just a shot in the face of what's been done, you know, or accomplished by so many teams throughout the year.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's multiple conversations on the radio show and the podcast I do. You know, I said it'd be a crime to let teams in just because of the color code situation. And, you know, no offense to those teams. Every team's working hard and trying to win football games. But, you know, that's the thing. You got to win, right? You got to win football games to get in the playoffs. Unfortunately, again, schedules have been affected by the color code, and that's not by any fault of anybody. It's just the rules, and that's been put in place. So I agree with you. You know, a program like Martinsburg, just to throw it out there, you know, not just putting them in just because their county is in, you know, orange or red, and Musselman was in there too. You know, it just had a lot of people kind of scratching their heads a little bit.
Well, on the accommodation part, that's being done here by the higher seed is what's the big deal, because we're all working together to help kids get games. When we roll into a Sunday, it's not by choice. It's based off the color coded map. And once again, kids are being forced to do things, putting a lot of strain on their body, and possibly playing a Sunday game and a Friday game. So you're knocking two games in the same week, really, you know. And it's not good for them. And our plea to the governor, and it still is, if he'll listen, is that we should get this thing to the point where we can do this for four straight weeks without any problems. I mean, if there was a situation, which we've played over 20,000 football games in the country, and we have not had one situation. When we're talking about, the focus is data, and when you look across the country and you don't have any game whatsoever that led to huge outbreaks of coronavirus, then you gotta put that stuff ahead of just saying, nope, that map rules everything. Because that's not fair to the kids. You know, if it was one of those things where this map was controlling, you know, the community more, where you could say, okay, this, you know, these types of businesses are going to have to be put on hold for a little bit, as long, you know, alongside schools, and, you know, and churches need to go do virtual sessions and things like that. That would make sense. But once again, it's the argument that I've had from the beginning, and here we are, you know, we going into the first week of the playoffs. It's the only people that even care about the map right now are connected to education and athletics. And right now I'm sitting here staring at a map, waiting for it to be updated, and just to see if we've improved our numbers so we can play, or Jackson County's decreased their orange code just so they can play. It just doesn't, it's just it's wear and tear on us too. Mental strain, a lot of stress. and preparation. Like today turns into a Saturday for us in preparation, and tomorrow turns into a Sunday for us. And then Wednesday becomes our new Monday. So it throws off everything that we're trying to do. And it's just, it's to be honest with you, it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I are on the same side of this. If you're just joining us here on the Brandon Lowe Show, we got Donnie Mays, head football coach of the South Charleston Black Eagles, expected to take on Ripley Sunday. You and I have had conversations, and I said that if there was something they can come up with for the rest of the community, which would be this map. So let's just say this map is what, because that's what it is. They're judging it based off the behaviors of out and about and the coronavirus and who tests positive and who and the negative test. This isn't sports based, as you said. I mean, I don't know if anybody's done the actual study to see how many people actually have had the virus because they've played football. I would tend to think it's low because I haven't really heard very many. And when it happens, it hits the news pretty quick. So, you know, if you did
look at a state next to us, and I spoke to a coach from Kentucky over the weekend, and when you look at their state, they're red and orange all over. I mean, it's community outbreak stuff. It's crazy. And I asked him what the purpose of their map was, and he said it's information for the communities. And it's a way that we can understand that we need to do better within our communities. And if action needs to be taken, then the governor would step in. However, they left everything up to the controls of their local school boards to decide whether or not they would be attending school or participating in athletics.
Sure.
Brilliant. But at the same time, I asked him, I said, you guys are red. Are you guys still playing football? And he laughably said, yes. And I said, well, have you guys had any outbreaks? And he laughably said, no. So, I mean, the point is there. Right there, that's data.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just finding the data. We can find whatever we want, and I understand the safety of the community and stuff, but whenever we're just dealing with education, it's just kind of like your hands are tied. These are things that, as a coach, you know, I'm not mad at the governor. I don't want people to think that. I'm not mad at all. I'm frustrated because these are things that are out of our control.
Yeah,
and all we're asking is just for a little bit of leeway. We're talking about 4 weeks here to get our season wrapped up. And then they have to deal, you know, then the big one comes. You know, everybody was worried about, you know, contact sports, which we've shown. We've been at this since June the 14th. Well, you know, we've been practicing since June the 14th. We've not had outbreaks in high school football here. You know, you get one or two cases. Most of that is believed to be because they're visiting someone and get it from someone within the family, bring it back in, and they might get two or three other people, but it's not because of the game of football. But here we go. We're getting ready to transition into indoor sports,
mm-hmm.
and that's where it's going to get tough.
Yep.
And, you know, and Coach Justice, Governor Justice, he's a basketball coach, so it's going to get tough on him too because the decisions are going to have to be harder and harder for him to make unless he takes a little bit off this map, because it's not helping education whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it's hurting. Last year when the West Virginia Department of Education came out and said that, you know, we're not going to fail kids at the end of the year, I'm not a proponent of failing kids anyway, but whenever the kids know that they can sit back and not do anything,
mm-hmm.
it changes the whole structure. And right now, what I'm trying to say is we've got a lot of that going on now because the kids don't believe they're going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everything in me to get them just to get focused, to turn in little things. And I know that I'm not the only teacher that deals with stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I was going to bring it up as well. I had that conversation with my wife. I go, you know, and it's tough, too. I mean, every grade level is tough. My daughter being in kindergarten, trying to learn how to read and all that stuff. And then my son, who's in fifth, who, you know, they get at a certain age, they like to just act like they did stuff. And I got to always check his stuff because he likes to go, yeah, I did my assignments. And I find out he didn't, and then of course I got to get my talking to and all that stuff. But that is definitely a good point. And when you're at a high school level and you got kids preparing to go to college, every class is important, and every assignment's important. So I definitely, that perspective, people talk about sports, and I understand that's important, but from an educational standpoint, it's definitely taking a hit.
Most definitely has. And, you know, people probably look at me as a guy that's just complained the whole time, and it's not that. It's anytime I can get a platform to at least voice our opinion, because I talk to coaches throughout the entire state of West Virginia, and this is not my voice. This is pretty much a united voice from everyone. We're all trying to get on the same page here, and there's a lot of frustration. It's not just me, and I can tell you that I've spoken to everyone from, you know, Brian at Musselman and Britt at Martinsburg to, you know, Morgantown High down to Beckley. I mean, we're all on the same page, and we're just very frustrated. It wears and tears on you mentally, and, you know, here we are in the playoffs, and like I said, we're just sitting here staring at a map. I just watched Spring Valley put out a tweet just a second ago. Why can't we just get this on time so we can move forward? And it's still, I mean, it's 10:32 and there's no update.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you think you'd have something earlier than that. I really don't know what takes so long to count it all up or get the math that's above my level.
Well, football coaches are planners, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what we do. We plan by nature, and everything that we do is like time related. And when you start wasting our time, that's when the frustration starts coming out. And, you know, it's like building a practice schedule for today and having all that stuff. That's done. But now we're talking about, are we even going to get to play the game this weekend? What's the deal with Jackson? Are they improving? You know, those are the questions that run through your head. So that's the frustration. That's the stress.
Certainly. You know, the thing Ryan and I were talking about, Ryan Pray, the Gazette Mail, we were saying, well, what if they get to, you know, the Super Six? What if Wheeling gets hit with stuff? Or what if one of those teams or county goes into red and orange? Is that, I mean, they just forfeit and the other team wins the state title?
Well, you know, yesterday we had to go to Parkersburg for a meeting. So I left Kanawha County, which is a gold county, and I drove through Jackson, which is an orange county, and then I landed in Wood County, and we sat there and had about a meeting for about an hour and 15 minutes. And I drove out of that orange county, went back through another orange county, got back into the gold county, and I feel pretty good today. I don't feel like I'm sick or anything like that. So, I like I said, if this county system thing keeps... If we keep making adjustments and all that stuff. We need to do it for 4 weeks, let these kids get their season in. But I don't see how we couldn't have a state championship in Wheeling this year, even if it was red.
Yeah. Let's talk about some good news here. First off, Shileek, Kenny makes the Most on ESPN. I thought that was really awesome for that kid. Obviously, a spectacular catch. And, you know, sometimes social media and the internet wins sometimes, especially getting that out and submitting it out to Most to put that up there. I bet that made Shileek's day for sure.
I was driving back and people were texting me. My phone was blowing up and luckily, I was driving in my wife's car that can read the text to me because, you know, I'm pretty bad about, you know, my phone and stuff. So it was reading everything to me. And they said that you see Shileek's thing on ESPN, and I went nuts. I just kind of pulled over and I started making phone calls like, what are you talking about? Like, how do you get on ESPN? And they did the Moss thing. And then I called his dad and I called Shileek immediately. Of course, they didn't know about it. And then when they found out, man, Shileek tweeted it out and that, yeah, he was excited. That's pretty awesome. That's great recognition. And you know what? That's what it takes sometimes is getting up and making a big play to be noticed. And, you know, who knows who comes in here and sees that one play of Shileek making it, and then they start looking at his film and saying, oh, man, you know, he's pretty good. So, you know, so are these other guys on this football team. And that's the world we're in now. These kids don't understand back in the day. You know, you had VHS tapes that got mailed into colleges, and they probably sat there and went through billions and billions of film and wasted a lot of time. And today they can click on the internet. So everything's accessible, and it's awesome. But, yeah, that was an awesome thing. And for Randy Moss to recognize his home state, that's pretty good. But, you know, that recognition wouldn't come without a great play like Shileek made.
Yeah, and he's been great all year along with your team. And Zyke, of course, committing to University of Cincinnati. I thought that was also – so you've had a full weekend of good news for your players.
Well, you know, this has been coming a long time for Zaki, and I didn't know where he wanted to go. And we've kind of talked about it a little bit, and you know, there's rumors out there that people backed off of him. That's not true at all. That's just rumors. Zaki was recruited very hard by a lot of people for a long time. And at the end of the day, Zaki chose Cincinnati, where he felt like he connected to the coaches.
Yeah.
And he also felt like schematically he fit very well, and he felt like that's a place where he wants to be for 4 years. Because when we started talking about this 4 years ago, I knew he was going to get recruited. I knew it was going to happen, and we would go through, you know, scenarios and things like that. And I believe those questions that I asked him kind of led him to choose where he wanted to go to school, because he wants an opportunity to play, you know, immediately. He wants to have be on a football team that's, you know, really talented and stuff like that. And you look what Coach Fickell's doing over there in the recruiting. He's tearing it up. He really is doing a nice job at a school that's not a Power Five, and that's a big deal. You know, that's a real big deal. And to add on to that, Zaki did not care, and this is the whole thing that everybody needs to know. Zaki could care less if you were a Power Five football team, a Division One AA, a Division Two, or whatever it may be. He was going to choose the school that best fit him. And when he told me what he was going to do, I told him, I'm going to be your biggest fan and your biggest supporter. And once again, you can tell, you know, I don't get in the middle of this. You know,
yeah.
I'm a West Virginia University graduate, and I love the Mountaineers, but I did not get in the middle of this, because this is the kid's decision, and that's where he's going to be for 4 years. And every one of my players that comes through here knows that's how I am. And if they happen to choose West Virginia like Drew Joseph did, that's awesome. And I'm just as excited for them as I am for Zaki.
Yeah.
And it was a big day, and I know Zaki was excited. So, you know, I'm happy for him, and we've got a lot of other kids that are getting ready to make some decisions too. So all that stuff will be coming out probably after the football season. And we've got, you know, last year we had 9 seniors, and 8 of them got scholarship offers to play football. And this year we've got 10 seniors, and there's a lot of them that's getting ready to go play some college football too. I think that's what's the most important thing here.
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, a little confessional here. I thought that was one of the most impressive things about you and your program. I know there's a lot of coaches out there that do try to get their kids highlighted and get some scholarships, get some looks. But I thought that was the more impressive thing. Even before I started doing color commentary for you guys, I thought that was really impressive. It was how you guys handled that. You guys put them out there and, you know, got their tape out there. As you said, you throw those tapes back in the day. You were lucky to get recruited at some of those schools, and man, Cincinnati does got some things going on. You look at them; they're 7th in the country right now. Luke Fickell is a outstanding head football coach, and I think he's going to have a great future there with the Bearcats.
Well, whenever I took over in 2013, one of the things I wanted to do is make South Charleston a brand, and we wanted to change our identity a little bit, and that's the goal of being the head coach, is to make it yours. And, you know, we went through Under Armour and got branded basically, and we do everything through Under Armour. But then whenever it comes to recruiting, my focus was to make sure that we are seen. And we started a, you know, Twitter page for our strength and conditioning program so coaches can see that stuff, because that's a lack of things that the coaches can't see from the college part. You know, unless they visit you in the week in the weight room. And then I also reached out to Coach Canada, who spends his life on Twitter anyway. And I said, listen, I don't want to do all this. I would love for you to just blast everything that you can at coaches so we can help our kids be seen. And he's done a phenomenal job. So it's not me. It's our staff.
Yeah.
We've done a great job. I spend my time dealing with the head coaches of the colleges and sending out the emails and stuff, and I've got a list in my phone of over 110 you know, head coaches, and then you add another 400 assistant coaches, and that came from, you know, just adding up time, and those coaches change. It's a carousel. Now let me tell you, you'll be talking to one that's coaching in Georgia one day, and the next day he's at UCLA. So, you know, we try to stay on top of that part too, keeping a running list. But you know, it's a group effort, and on top of that, our kids understand how important academics are here, and we stress it, and that's our major focus. And I told them, I don't care at the end of the day how many games you win, I don't care if we get a state championship. What I want to see biggest thing is you walk across that stage with a diploma and you know that you have an avenue for a future. And our kids know that I mean that and I believe that way. But our job is to help them get into college if that's what they're wanting to do.
It's awesome. Let's end it on this. You don't know if you're playing Ripley or not, but it's been obviously an interesting season for everybody. You've played five games. You've won all of them convincingly. You've had no issues. So really at this point, not saying you had no issues. I'm sure you're a coach. You've seen some things that need to be fixed. But as far as, you know, being down and all that stuff, adversity throughout the season, you haven't seen it yet. So now you wipe the slate clean. You're in postseason play. What are some of the things you want to see out of your team continuing going forward in postseason play that can assure you a deep run in the playoffs?
Well, we have to continue to force turnovers, and I thought we've done a really good job of that this year. We have three defensive touchdowns off interceptions, and that's a big one. But we've also created a ton of turnovers. As far as offense goes, we haven't turned the ball over much. You know, Trey's, thrown four interceptions. Two of those were drops by the receiver that bounced in the hands of the defender, and we fumbled the ball, I think, three times this year. So we haven't turned over the ball a lot, and we've taken care of it on offense, but we've forced a lot on defense. And then, you know, it really, football comes down to flying to the football on defense and executing on offense and making sure that your special teams are, you know, sound. And I thought we've done a really nice job of that this year. We found a little diamond in the rough kickoff guy and Chase the other night whenever he put three of them in the end zone. So we've been kind of a pooch onside type kickoff team. But when we look at our defensive line has been really lights out this year, which forces people into bad situations. So if we can make people go 80 yards instead of 60 or 50, then we're in great shape. So that's the idea. That's what we've kind of branded ourselves to be as a team this year, and we hope to continue that throughout the playoffs. And, you know, you made a comment about, you know, getting down. We got down early against George Washington. Yeah. They hit us on a couple big plays, and we were playing some different types of back-end stuff with our secondary, and they got us, and we made some adjustments, and our kids really answered to that, you know, well, and we turned that game around. So the thing that they need to understand going into the playoffs is the longer you go, the tougher the games get, and there's going to be times where adversity is going to hit, and how you respond to it's going to show your true character.
Yeah, great stuff. Coach, appreciate your time on the show. I'm sure I'll see you soon. Hopefully we play some football on Sunday and get this thing started.
Well, it's 10:45, and we're getting ready to get off the phone here, and I just hit refresh, and the map is still not updated. So now my stress levels continue to go up.
Well, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, Brandon, take care.
All right, man.